North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. I know some of you don't know me. I hang with the Saturday night crew. I think we're a little rowdier. I'm sure it's because you guys are at home early praying, getting ready for the 11 o'clock service, right? You're just spending time with Jesus. So I hang with them on Saturday nights, and then we go be with kind of the West Side family, the church that we, my wife and I pastor. And fun story, we did our Next Gen fundraiser yesterday, and we raised $1,500 to send kids to camp. So awesome. And it was pancakes, so I know what you're thinking. What's in those pancakes? Right, but I'm throwing down the gauntlet just a little bit, just saying, look, we raised $1,500, so your garage sale better, you know, be through the roof, or you're serving pancakes next year too. But it is awesome to be with you. I'm so excited about this message and this series. This series really, Jesus is, we're getting back to our fundamentals. And fundamentals to me is really the foundation, where everything's at. Now, I don't know if you like baseball, but finally it's baseball season, and I bleed purple. Been bleeding a lot over the last several years because how bad we've been. And honestly was very excited, not trying to get too optimistic, but pretty excited about the way things started and then the stupid Dodgers. But you know, the thing about baseball, you go to spring training and it's fundamentals. You know, we need to throw it, we need to hit it, we need to catch it. And if we do that pretty well, hopefully we're gonna win a few games. Emphasis on a few games for the Rockies. But that's the thing, fundamentals. And this series, Jesus is, we're talking our fundamentals. Fundamentals, foundational stuff for our faith. So we started last week, and Jesse did an awesome job just talking about how Jesus is our Savior and how that's really the launching point for this whole journey of faith, that we need to come and really know and understand what Jesus did and the cross, receive that, have that moment where we make Him our Lord and Savior. And then she unpacks so well, and then we need to move on. Because God has more that He wants to do with us than simply seeing us come to faith. And that's exciting. I mean, it would be enough if that was it, you know, and just the cross and salvation, and then we can just kind of stay there. But that's not what God did, and that's not what He wants to do. There's more to our journey than just that moment. And we have a calling, we have an assignment, and there's more that God wants to do in our lives. And Jesse began unpacking that last week. This week I get to talk to you about Jesus being our healer. So turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and we're going to Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at this journey into understanding a little bit better, Jesus is our healer. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3, says this: He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah is writing 800 years before Jesus shows up on the scene. This is a messianic prophecy is what we call it. 800 years before Jesus even is around, we get an explanation of what he was going to accomplish and do. And there's two really important things here. The first is it tells us that Jesus came to die for our sins. That he came so that you and I could have relationship restored, that he could pay the price so that you and I could be forgiven. Awesome. Amazing news. Good news. But then Isaiah continues and he says, not only did Jesus come so that restoration could happen in our relationship with the Father, but Jesus also came and he paid a price so that you and I could be healed. That's what it's saying. So he paid the price so we could be forgiven, and he paid a price so that we could be healed. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or had this conversation, but in our home, when it was time to have babies, the name was a big deal. And my wife, as we were getting ready to have babies, was finishing up her her undergrad and her teaching, getting her degree in elementary education. And so she was in the school system. And we're like, okay, it's time to start thinking about names. But if you've ever had a teacher in your home and you start thinking about names of your own children, it's an interesting conversation. Honey, what about this? There is no way at all ever that we will have one of those in our home. Okay, well, what about this name? Not gonna happen. And like, you take a baby name book and she just rips out like half of it because of the monsters that she's been dealing with day in and day out. And it's like, well, what are we gonna do? Maybe if we piece a part of this and a part of this, and we can make something work that's never existed before. But let me tell you, well, God understood something. He understands that we're knuckleheads. We are, let's just be honest. And he knows that because we're a little thick sometimes and things are a little challenging for you and me to get through, that he wanted to make some things simple for us. And it has the purpose of his name. See, God actually helps us to define him by understanding more about his name. So in your Bible, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, we see this. And it's this point. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, some of this gets a little lost in translation here. But in the original language, this is God actually saying one of his names. And he says, one of the names I have known by is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals. He's not explaining an action. This isn't something that he does, like if he feels like it. Like it's just, well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. You catch me on a good day and it's going to happen. You catch me in a mood and good luck. That's not what's being said here. God is actually helping to define himself so that you and I can understand him. And he says this, I am the God who heals. That's my name. So if you get around me, you're going to be healed. It's who I am. And I'm trying to help you understand, because sometimes, let's just be honest, God is big. And that's good. And I know as soon as we begin talking about God being our healer that there's legitimate questions that come up. Because we all have them. Challenges and adversity. Life. Sickness. Disease. Infirmity. And it's big. And today, in no means am I trying to make light of the realities of life that many of us deal with. It's hard sometimes. And I get that. And I don't know if you've had an experience before, but I've prayed sometimes and, well, nothing happened. I mean, I've even gone into hospitals. It's part of what I do. It's not fun part of what I do. I mean, I don't really enjoy seeing you half naked. Sure, you probably don't want to see me half naked either. And you get there and you pray because it's, I mean, you're in the hospital and you want to see God move, and we're connecting. Lord, let's see something happen. And you pray and, well, I've even prayed and, I mean, people have died that I prayed for. Not when I was praying for them. Some of you, oh my goodness, I know what you were thinking. Right there, don't ever have Johnny pray for me. It will go bad. Really, really bad. You've prayed for some people too, and it didn't turn out the way you thought. So how do we begin to reconcile the fact that God says, I am, this is who I am a God who heals. And we as people go through life sometimes and we're going, but this one maybe did get healed and this one didn't, or prayed and it felt like nothing happened. It's not easy. It can rattle our faith a little bit. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I find that challenging. Challenging in my approach to God. Challenging because now do I step out? Am I brave enough to actually pray for somebody if I really have no idea what's going to happen? Or the challenge of you really, really wanted something and it didn't. And how do I continue on this journey? How do I understand this foundational truth that my God is a God who heals? And how do I begin to reconcile that in my mind? Well, one of the ways that we need to understand that we should reconcile it is to begin to understand that as soon as you and I come to faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us that something profound changes. It may not feel like it in that moment, but when you believe, you confess that He is Lord, you receive that forgiveness that Jesus bore on the cross for your sin and for mine, the Bible says that there's a change that happens in you and you're going to live forever with Him in heaven. Good news. But then we still have this mentality sometimes, the lens through which we filter everything. And we still butt up against death and we still think that that's kind of a big deal. But when we're going to live forever and God looks down at our lives and He begins to process things, one of the ways He processes them is not just in this moment, because the Bible says that your time here on earth is but a vapor. It's fleeting. It's here one day and gone the next. God is not processing just the vapor, the moment, this time. God is processing in the scope of eternity. And He's thinking about things like character. And He's thinking things big picture. He's thinking about stuff that you and I just don't have the capacity in the moment to be able to rationalize, because we're dealing with this big, ugly thing right in front of us. And it's a challenge. But you know what I'm learning? I'm learning that I'm okay with that. I'm learning that I'm okay with the fact that I serve a God that I don't completely understand. That I don't get it and I don't have it all figured out. I mean, sometimes I think it would feel nice if I could maybe somehow cosmically manipulate His arm. You know, send this email to 7 people in the next 7 seconds and you'll get what you want. I mean, it would be nice, right? But you see, that's not God. If I could somehow manage Him or manipulate Him or control Him, if I could somehow think that I can get it all figured out, that is not God, and that is not big enough for me and what I need. I need a God that's bigger than the situations and the challenges I face. And this world is broken. It is messed up. It's not the way He intended. We screwed it up. Thank you, sin. And it's life. And it is hard. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And it doesn't mean that He's not moving. And it doesn't mean that He does not care, because life ravages us sometimes. And it also doesn't mean that just because God's my healer, I get some sort of little get out of bed easy in the morning card. All right, your back's going to hurt. You're getting old. Suck it up. All right? Come on. Quit your whining. But you see, I do serve a God that heals. I serve a God that loves. You see, I serve a God that loves so much that there is no one too lost for Him. I serve a God that is so amazing, there is no situation too hopeless for Him. I serve a God so magnificent that the Bible says I need to pray to even begin to grasp a little bit, a glimpse of who He is and how amazing He is. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. And in you, He wants to do something amazing. So how do we walk this out? In Daniel chapter 3, we see a really fun story. Now, it's fun for me because I get to read it, right? But it would suck if you were the one going through it. Daniel 3, the context of Daniel is this. Daniel and his three friends, they were bright, they were intelligent, and they were going somewhere with their lives. They were on track to be something. They had a plan, a purpose, a dream. You know, they were probably college graduates, you know, maybe in graduate school or something. But everybody knew, hey, those guys, they're going to do something. But the problem was that one day the army went out to war and it didn't come home. The enemy army did. And when the enemy army comes home, usually what they do is they just kill everything. But for some reason this day, the enemy king said this, and he said, I want to take these best and brightest from you, and I'm going to take them with me back to my place. And so he did. And he took the best and the brightest, and he brought them back, and he said this, everything that you know is gone. Your way of life, your pattern, your hopes, your dreams, it's done. If you want a chance to survive, here's how it's going to work. You must learn a new language, my language. You must learn a new culture, my culture. You must learn new history, our history. You must learn a new religion, our religion. And if you can do this well, if you can do this better than those who've grown up here and live here and have done this all their lives, then you can live. Well, that's not very exciting, but at least they had a chance. So the Bible tells us in Daniel 1 and 2 and leading into Daniel 3 that Daniel and his friends just said, this is it, we have to do this. And so they began to find a way to live their lives and honor the Lord in a foreign culture. They would fast, they would pray, and they would study. And the Lord blessed them. And as they were being blessed, they were being promoted. But here's the thing. As soon as you put people together, you always have problems because people just can't seem to get along together. And so here's these guys, they come, they've lost everything, but they're submitting, they're doing everything they can, and now they're living in a foreign land. But the people who live there, the people who now suddenly have these foreigners telling them what to do, don't like that very much. And so they're looking for ways to get them in trouble. This is the book of Daniel. And one of those times it happened. The king decides, hey, I'm going to make a big golden statue and everybody's going to worship it. Everybody needs to bow down. And these three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say, we can't do that. And the people that were mad at them are like, finally, aha, we have it. Let's get them. And so they go to the king and they tell on him. And the king gets mad. And so the king brings his guys and they light a fire in the furnace. Heat it up. And he says, hey, I want you guys to know this fire, if you don't bow down and worship, you're going in the fire. Now, reading between the lines a little bit, I just know, you know, guys in fire, it's interesting stuff. You know, Bible actually says that the guys who lit the fire died. Now, I'm not completely sure if it's because they were stupid men. Because let's just be honest, guys, we're stupid sometimes. I have coffee a couple times a month with a group of guys, anybody who wants to get together. And true story, just a couple weeks ago we were talking, and the conversation was, why do we do stupid stuff? You know, famous last words, hey, watch this. And some reason, we seem to equate fire with a lot of that. Like, that looks like it'd be really fun to set on fire. I'm pretty convinced, though, in this story, that was not the case. The Bible says that the fire was so hot that the guys who set it died. And the king says this, you guys are going in unless you bow down and worship. And their response to the king was this. We need you to know something. We need you to know this. We don't know how this is going to work out. We're guys, we know that's a fire and we know it's hot. We don't know how this is going to work out. But we want you to know something. We want you to know that even though we don't know what's going to happen, we know our God is able to save us. He may or he may not, but we want it said right here on the podcast that's going to everybody around the country. We want you to know, O King, that our God is able to save us. He threw them in the fire, and they lived. God saved them. But they didn't know before. And I look at that story and I go, isn't that really the model for you and for me? Because there is so much going on in life that I don't know. I mean, I wish I did. I wish I could wrap it all in this nice, neat, clean theology and present a wonderful package and say, look, your life is messed up because of A, B, and C. And you do this, and it's all going to be good. But you and I know that's not true. Life is messy, and it's hard. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But what would happen if you and I really caught this model and said, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I serve a God that is bigger than any situation you're dealing with. And let's just see what he might do if you and I get together and pray about it. What would happen? You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, it says this. It says, the same Spirit that dwells, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and me. The same Spirit. The same Spirit that did the impossible. The same Spirit that saw death be defeated, hope for the hopeless, restoration for you and me. And he chooses to live in us. As soon as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you. What do you think he's doing? Twiddling his thumbs? Sitting in a rocking chair whittling, just waiting? He is the God who heals. It's who he is, and he's in you. The longer you walk with him, the more you're with him, the healthier you get, the more life is going to be better for you, the more things get healthy, whole, and healed in your life. Because he's in you. And not only is he in you, he wants to work through you. Now, I get it. We don't always understand. But it really needs to be okay. It needs to be okay because he's a God that is big and amazing and life is hard and it's challenging. But that same spirit is in us. What would happen if we stopped focusing on what he's not doing and started asking for eyes to see what he is doing? You see, if he is a God who heals, which he is, that's his name. If he is faithful, because the Bible tells us he cannot be unfaithful, then the issue is not, oh, I prayed and nothing happened. The issue is I prayed, but I didn't see what happened. It didn't work out the way I thought, but that's okay because God loves people too much to not intervene. He loves people too much. The Bible tells us that he does not want any one person to perish. All would have the opportunity to come to faith. All would have the opportunity to experience him as Lord and Savior and to know him as healer. The issue is that we're not seeing what he's doing. And what would happen if you and I had the faith to begin to say, Lord, I want to see what you're doing. I believe you're bigger than whatever this is, this menacing thing that's in front of us right now. And I believe that if we agree together, we can watch God heal. Couple practical things and then we'll be done. The Bible says as we begin to walk this out that there's certain things that we need to do. We have a role to play. So the Bible says if anyone is sick or facing any sort of challenge, that you're actually to come. Come and ask the elders to pray. Now it's not because the elders and the church are so special. It actually has a lot more to do with you. See, the Bible says in many instances as you look on the journey of faith, it says that you need to activate your faith. So just to receive Jesus as Lord, you have to believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And when you come and just say, you know what, I'm dealing with this situation in my life, and would you agree and pray with me? Something's going to happen. So we come to the elders. So let me ask you, is there something going on in your life that you want to see some breakthrough? Is there something going on in your life that you need a miracle? Well, we serve a God. That's what He does. So come, and we pray together. The second thing would be this. We need to pray as people who have an expectation that God is going to do something. Because He is. He loves people too much to not. So where two or three gather together, the Bible is clear that something in eternity is taking place. Now, it may not be what you think or expect or what we feel is important, but I guarantee it's what God feels is important, and that's what needs to happen. But we need to pray believing that God's going to do something, because He is, and He wants to. What would it look like if we captured this and went out in the community? A community that most aren't in church today, aren't in a relationship with the Lord. But if you and I boldly would just know and say, you know what? My God who heals, my God who works miracles can help you because He loves you. What would that be like? I think we'd see our community change. And the final thing would be this today. We need to be ready in season and out of season. A few weeks back, I had this encounter. I had a day off. I don't get many days off just because of the multiple things I do right now. And I had a day off and my phone rang. And I wrestled. Should I answer it? Should I not? Should I answer it? Should I not? I answered. And the person on the other end says, is this Pastor Johnny Chapman? And I said, yes. And they said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, you need to get to him right away. And I said, okay, can you tell me what's going on? And he said, yeah, he was just in a serious car accident. And it's bad. And he kind of proceeded almost to give me this list of the injuries. He's bleeding here, and this happened, and I'm pretty sure this. I'm like, wow, okay. And he goes, you know, EMS has not arrived yet. I was just here, happened to be here right in the moment. And they're coming, but I need to go. So in 20 minutes, please start looking in area hospitals because he really needs to talk to you. So just call around, and you'll find him, and he needs you. I'm like, okay, this is a little crazy. So I started looking, and I was struggling a little bit to find him, so I came in the office and had some of the staff help me. I call a hospital. We're looking for this person, and we found him. Rushed down there, and by the grace of God, got there before he went into surgery. Just an absolute miracle. God moved, and the surgeons worked. And sometimes God will heal us instantaneously, and sometimes God uses the wonderful people with great gifting. And He did both in this situation. The next day I went back to talk to him, and as he and I are talking, he goes, it was just so crazy. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, the car accident happened, and then the car was on fire, and suddenly there was just this guy there. And he pulled me out. And the only question he would ask me is, who's your pastor? Who's your pastor? Who's your pastor? I'm only going to call your pastor. And then he called you, and I just felt like he disappeared. I'm like, well, that really sounds like an angel to me. God got a hold of me, got me where I needed to be so that some business could be done in that ER. Now, it's not because I'm that special. It's just because I was available. See, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is searching to and fro for those who are available. Because this world that He loves so much that He would die for needs people who are willing to go and to stand in the gap and say, I want to introduce you to a God who loves you and a God who wants to heal you and see your life change. Would you guys pray with me? Lord Jesus, we want to respond today. And Lord, I'm very aware that there's elements of this journey that doesn't always make sense and we don't always understand. But in the midst of it, you are a God that loves us. And you love us so much that you intervene. And you are a God who wants to help us understand who you are. Your name is the God who heals. Lord, it doesn't always look like we think it should look, but I know this. The longer we walk with you and the closer we get to you, the healthier we become. You heal miraculously. You heal emotions. You heal hearts. You heal families. You work miracles. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you don't stop doing that. You didn't stop years ago in Bible times, and you haven't stopped today. You are a God who heals, and you want to touch our hearts and our lives. So Lord, we want to come to you today, and there's things that we want to ask. Would you heal this situation? Would you heal this infirmity? But more than that, Lord, we also want to ask, help us to be near you. Help us to feel you. Help us to know how much you love us. And help us to walk in this revelation that you are a God that heals us. And we thank you for that. So we lift these things to you today, praying and expecting that you're going to work a miracle. Because that's what you do. And we agree for it together in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing this song together. He loves you. He loves you so much. Today I'm going to ask, just if you're wrestling with something, would you be bold enough to ask somebody to pray with you? Would you be bold enough just to step out and say, Lord, I want to agree with somebody that we would see breakthrough in this? And then some of you might say to me today, Johnny, I've never met a God that, like you talk about today. One that would love me so much, he wants to intervene in my life. But today's my day. Today's my moment to say yes, to receive forgiveness, to start this journey of faith. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask that you would just let me know, because we want to pray with you. If that's you, just let me know. Today's my day. I want to start this journey. Yeah. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. I see you in the back. Father, bless them. Let's do this. We're all gonna reaffirm today our faith together. We're going to recite this prayer. For some of us, it's reaffirming what we know and believe. And for those who are making this decision for the first time today, this is the beginning of the journey of faith. So let's pray this together. We'll put it up here so we can all follow along. Ready, set, go. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.